Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. I was greatly encouraged with our time of worship simply for the very reason is the scriptures that Paul read out earlier on about the Holy Spirit, they all here in my opening verses, which was very encouraging. And then that young lady that came and spoke about a fire that was coming, that's one of the emblems that we're going to be looking at in the second session of the Holy Spirit. So I've got great expectation that I believe the Lord wants to meet personally and intimately and deeply with each and every one of us. The first session, I'm trusting to have an information to you from the scriptures that our faith is anchored in the Bible. And when we hear the scriptures, it stirs faith in our hearts. Then the second session, there's going to be some practical application where we chat about that in the second session. And the third session is impartation. And this last month that Shirley and I have been here together with you, it's been an amazing privilege. So I want to Paul, Ollie, Bates, the eldership, leadership team, I want to say thank you for that amazing privilege we've had. Shirley has focused her identity talks on the Father heart of God. And knowing the Father brings stability, it brings a strength to your walk with God. It brings purpose. He anchors us. And then Jesus as our Lord, Master, Savior, where it just roots us in who He is, Jesus. And this camp, we're wanting to focus on the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And many of us can easily identify with the Father and with Jesus because we can visualize them as people. And those that have a great relationships with your earthly father, you seem to be able to connect easier with understanding God as a father. And Jesus, because He came as a man, we read the Gospels, we can understand Him. But often when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's a bit of a question mark and we're not sure. But I'm wanting to demystify that and help you to see Holy Spirit as a person just like the Father and Jesus. And as you can have a relationship with the Father and with Jesus, you can equally have a beautiful, sweet, intimate relationship with Holy Spirit. Amen to that. So that's just from way of introduction, because we serve a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to find that divine balance in our lives of knowing the Father, knowing the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't that just there as an attachment to the benediction, a prayer blessing, Holy Spirit be with you. No, He needs to be an integral part of our life. Those verses that you wrote, spoke out earlier, of us being clothed with the Holy Spirit, inwardly dressed in the power of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, they had to tarry for it, wait for it. We have to thirst for Him. And I'm trusting if there's anything I can do is awake a thirst and a hunger for the person of the Holy Spirit, because it's the empowering of the Holy Spirit that's going to bring about mass revival and evangelism and the lost coming to a knowledge of Jesus. Without Holy Spirit empowering, it's like we're putting along on a two-stroke where we could be in a Formula One charging forward. Holy Spirit wants to help us and empower us. We are born of the Spirit of God. He wants to lead us by His Spirit. He wants to fill us. He wants to empower us. Our worship needs to be done in spirit and in truth. Everything in the book of Acts and into the epistles, Holy Spirit was a key, integral part. But often our thinking and our minds, we struggle to get around, what is He? Who is He? How is He? How does He fill our lives? So we're going to be looking at that. But what I want to emphasize is the way you have a relationship with Father and with Jesus, we equally can have one with the Holy Spirit. Now, the scriptures that Paul read out, I'm just going to quote them again so you can make note of them, please. It's in Luke chapter 24, verse 48 to 49. Acts chapter 1, verse 2, verse 5, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. There again are those beautiful verses, and the person of the Holy Spirit is like the doorway into so much more. The door is for us to enter in into the fullness of what He has for us. Where one of the beautiful emblems of the Holy Spirit is the river of God. Book of Ezekiel, John chapter 7. But so often we just splash ankle deep in the ways in the river of the Holy Spirit instead of launching into the deep to come to the place of abandonment and swimming. Now, if I could say this of Jesus and the disciples in the book of Acts, so needed the Holy Spirit, how much more don't we? If Jesus' 3.5-year public ministry was launched through water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism, remember the dove coming down, one of the beautiful emblems of the Holy Spirit? We're going to ponder upon that in the next session. And the book of Acts with the disciples in the upper room, they were cowards, 120, locked in the upper room, intimidated by the religious leaders. But once the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was nothing holding them back. The strength of the Roman Empire and the religious institution of that day had no answer to a church empowered by the Holy Spirit. Imagine us being like that and going beyond. Now, with reference to the Holy Spirit, here are a number of things that He does in and through our lives that I'm wanting to share and teach on, that you would be able to identify at certain points and places, but then to say, Holy Spirit, I want more of that. I want more of that. For example, He draws us and brings conviction in our lives. Holy Spirit is forever wooing us and wanting to draw us deeper into an intimate relationship with Himself and the Father and Jesus. You know, when you have all of a sudden those just longings and desires just to be alone with Him? When you open the Bible and you're reading it and it's talking to you, and then you look at the time and you know you've got a lecture or you've got another appointment, oh no! Do you see, most of us look at our time and think, tish, only 5 minutes gone. Where when you're interacting with Holy Spirit in the Scripture, time flies because He's talking to you. You know, we all want internet with the fastest download, whatever, you young people know all the terminology. Holy Spirit helps us have those divine downloads that causes the Scriptures to come alive, that causes our hearts to burn. See, Holy Spirit helps us see the Father and Jesus because they all point to one another. See, the Holy Spirit is like a divine GPS within our hearts that takes us home to the Father's heart. Have you ever wondered how swallows, those small little birds, fly from Europe to South Africa? God's designed and wired them with that homing device. Whales that swim from the Arctic here to Hermanus and to Carve. You know, God's GPS and coordinate. Now, even greater so, the Holy Spirit within us, that homing device into the depths of who God is, that we can enjoy Him and experience Him and encounter Him in our heads, in our heart, and through our lives. I believe there's so much more that God has, and as we begin to lean into Him and allow Him to draw us, that's one of the wonderful workings of the Holy Spirit. He draws us. Those guys that are big into cycling, they're getting into the slipstream. There's a divine slipstream that pulls us along and draws us along. And we need to come to the place of dependency and abandonment to Him. See, Holy Spirit wants to bring conviction in a deeper way. Now, often we think of conviction as, oh, I've sinned. Oh, I've blown it. I believe the conviction of the Holy Spirit starts long before that. He warns us of what's ahead so we don't fall. Holy Spirit is like those triangle warning signs of speed traps ahead. You know, when you come into Stellenbosch, we've learned that. There's those signs all over from 80 to 60 to 80. Then you can go 100. Now, how many of you know you're dwarf if you don't follow those warning things? Can I say, Holy Spirit knows what's ahead. And He will begin to warn us, now hold on, that relationship, that alliance is unhelpful and unhealthy. Slow down, take off ramp, go another route. That's how Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives. And as we begin to follow His leading, guess what? We learn to live a greater overcoming life. He's there to pick us up, but He's there before we fall to prevent us from falling, to help us into the fullness. And if we do blow it, we do feel cut to the heart where we can say, sorry, Lord, please help me, forgive me, and help me walk forward. So as we begin to become aware, how many of you know that when the Holy Spirit starts working your life, you think a thought, you want to speak it, but you know it's going to be so unhelpful once it's out. Husbands and wives, I bear witness and testimony to that. You want to utter it, but you know you are digging one massive big hole if you speak out what you've just said. Can I encourage you, follow that. See, Holy Spirit wants to help you like a bit in your mouth of this is helpful to say, this is unhelpful to say. Conviction doesn't only have to do about before you sin and when you sin, but conviction also helps us how to live. We need to be a people that live with deep conviction that Jesus Christ is the only answer for humanity. We need to believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Conviction is what you believe deeply in your heart that affects how you live. That scripture is a beautiful scripture that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul said, how our gospel came to you, not only in words, but also with power and with deep conviction. Then he says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. See, conviction also has to do with how you live. Do we live with Christ being Lord of all? Do we live with Him as number one in our lives? Or is number two a close second? See, Holy Spirit conviction, no, Jesus needs to be above all else. Holy Spirit brings about the new birth, the greatest of miracles, the changed life. When there's the new birth, something happens deep on the inside of us. What happens is we connected to God on the inside. Holy Spirit brings about the desire to know God. Holy Spirit brings about, if I could call it, a divine romance. How many of you know those that are in love, you just want to be with the person that your heart yearns for? You just want to chat with them. You want to be in their company. You want to be in their presence. You want to hear everything they have to say. Holy Spirit helps us in a divine romance with the Father and with Jesus. Holy Spirit wants to help us foster that intimacy. You know, when my concern sometimes for Christians, yeah, I've been so struggling with my devotions for a week or two. And my response, don't you miss Him? Don't you so miss Him? Where it's like, oh, see, Holy Spirit brings us into that intimacy where you don't only just have those faces, but you enjoy His company and His presence, and you live and you walk and you talk and you move in Him. It's called living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. That's where He wants to take us as a community, as a people. The signs of the new life is a desire for the Bible, a desire to know the one who the Scripture speaks of. And as in the Luke chapter 24, when Jesus walked with those disciples and opened up the Scriptures, didn't they say, did not our hearts burn within us as He spoke to us? What causes a burning heart? Holy Spirit. One of the emblems of the Holy Spirit is fire. That lady that brought that word of encouragement. Fire. Doesn't the book of Romans said, let your hearts always be aglow and burning with the Spirit. We need to be a glowing and burning with the Spirit, not just a smoldering wick. And we're going to be sharing some of those keys for that. But this is to inspire you and encourage you that there is so much more. Let's not just settle for the shallows, but let's move. A desire for fellowship, to witness, a desire for obedience and to grow in God. That's the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's not suppress the Spirit or grieve the Spirit or have the Holy Spirit under house arrest in our lives. Holy Spirit is one of the beautiful emblems, is a dove. And my great concern and in my heart is we acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but he's in a cage. But we don't allow him full access in our hearts and our lives. With reference to the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, as we deepen our intimacy with him, we can have export Holy Spirit fruit in our lives, not just bonsai fruit in our lives. I don't know how to draw a parallel other than that word picture. And, you know, whether it's self-control or patience or love or gentleness, whatever those are, we know, so Holy Spirit, help me to have those export fruit of your Spirit, because they're part of our witness to the world. Equally, the gifts of the Spirit. Let's contend for trusting for healing. Let's contend for trusting for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, etc., etc. Let's believe for that, because that opens up people's hearts. Holy Spirit, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he's the primary person that brings about transformation in our lives. It reads like this: we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness, that's Jesus, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, our goal is not heaven. Our goal is to become more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit chisels the rough edges from our life to reflect more of Jesus. I remember when I first came to faith, I made a big list. I said, geez, Lord, these are all the things you need to work on. It was like I had deluxe issues. Now I've just got issues. But those deluxe issues, I said, Lord, help me. And then I'd go to the scriptures to see what it was. I remember I so struggled with confidence. And as I wrestled, I sensed the Lord saying, Wally, it's not self-confidence you need. It's God confidence in who I am. So it stopped me from striving and struggling to saying, Lord, I just want to have faith in you. Then I said, oh God, I've got to have great faith. He says, no, Wally, you just need mustard seed faith in a great God. You don't have to have great faith. Guess what? It began to started taking striving and drivenness out of me. And I began to relax that he was drawing me and wooing me into a deep, wonderful, intimate relationship with him. Allow him to help you to become more like Jesus in your thinking and in your attitudes. To say, Holy Spirit, help me to live a life that's honoring the Father and the Son. Holy Spirit inspires us. You know, Holy Spirit is the breath of the Father and the Son. When we talk about inspiration, it's breath. It was when God breathed into Adam, it was breath that made him alive. Every day, I say, Holy Spirit, breathe into me that Jesus, you could be more alive in me. Let the scriptures, let the text not just be black and white on the pages of my Bible, but let me see the color of what your heart was when you inspired them. Let me see what was between the lines, your heartbeat of passion and love. See, when you begin to say, Holy Spirit, let the emotion and heart of the Father and the Son begin to resound more and more on the inside of me. It's a scary but adventurous adventure. I yesterday took Shirley to the postcard cafe that you have up there in Yonkershoek. Gee whiskers, that is stunning. We just sat there going, wow, 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 God, you are mighty, you're amazing. It's stunning. To me, I can't understand how every person living in Stellenbosch is not a solid believer in Christ, when you just see His handiwork and the majesty of His might and creation around you. And we were there yesterday. We've been tempted. And we think of being like swallows from the tail to here. But Shame Shirley's tummy has been a little troubled, and so she had to rush off to the bathroom. So I just stood there watching this mountain, thinking, "Wow, God!" And he has these guys come walking along, and I said, "How's it?" And he says, "Chris," and a different accent, and he's from the UK. So I got chatting with him, and I said, "Isn't this amazing?" He says, "Yana, I come here every year with my wife. But she's not here today with me because 4 years ago she passed." And I just felt his pain, and I started tearing. And I've just met the guy. And I'm screaming, "Oh, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying?" Because in the morning my prayer was, "Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, direct me." So I said, "How are you coping with the loss of your wife?" He says, "It's so hard. Today, they're unveiling a plaque." That was yesterday. They were unveiling a plaque on her behalf because that was one of her favorite places to be. And I just felt, I said, "Chris, would you mind if I pray together with you?" He said, "Please, please." So there on the lawn, I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "Mighty God, the creator of all these, just strengthen Chris right now. Bring healing to his grieving heart. Fill him with your love. Let him know your nearness. Let him know your nearness." And I just had finished, said amen. Shirley walks out, sees me hugging another guy, says, "What happened?" And I just said, "We've just had a cool moment of from God as creator to person that's grieving." Then he came up to Shirley and said, "Hello, my name's Chris." Chatted a bit. I said, thank you. I said, thank you for just praying. See, God, who knows all things, and His Spirit, as He lives in you, He takes you to the broken. He leads you to the lonely. He takes you and leads to the lost. See, life becomes an adventure when you stay filled with the Spirit and say, "Lord, take me to wherever the river flows. Take me to wherever the river flows." Let Him begin to inspire you with new songs. Let Him begin to inspire you with creative art, with poetry, with dance, with song, with mime. There's so many. I'm going to tell you a quick story about a guy that's in your community and congregation, Chris de Villiers, Chris and Adele. You know Chris. And there's a story that he was part of Life Changes many years ago, maybe 14, 15 years ago, even longer possibly. And the Lord inspired him with a medical device that could save lives. Because his wife, Adele, worked in the emergency ward in hospitals. And instead of staying at home, he used to go accompany her. And he used to see these people come in with stab wounds and dying. And he looked at that and he said, "God, there must be something we can do." And God gave him an idea. And I was there at the seeding of that idea. And he'd have all these pipes and tubes and things in their bathroom. And he said, "Look at this, Wally. If this, we do this and do this and do this and try this, it could possibly save lives." See, he was feeling the heart of God to save lives physically and spiritually. And through much blood, sweat, and tears. And I remember Kerry Southey, a prophetess, came through and gave a profound prophetic word how God was going to inspire him with creative ideas to save lives, etc., etc. And I said, "Chris, God's encouraging and talking to you. He's inspired you. He's inspired Kerry." And I went around his factory the other day. I was blown away. I was so encouraged. He employs 130 odd folk, and they're exporting these devices to the UK, to America, the EU, of saving lives where people would have died. And I thought, "Wow, God, Holy Spirit, you inspired him," and I was seeing the finished product. I want to say, how many products are in this room that still got to be created and developed? And Holy Spirit wants to inspire you. Whether it's a song or a poem or even a book, It could be children's. Holy Spirit wants to inspire because He so loves people as we open our lives to Him. Holy Spirit wants to bear witness. He bears witness that we are His children. You know, so many Christians struggle with, am I saved? Aren't I? I hope so. I think so. I'm not sure. Now, the Holy Spirit bears witness and testifies in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, that we are His children and have received His Spirit by which we cry, Abba, Father. So we're no longer slaves to fear, but we're His very own children, sons and daughters. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we know that we're forgiven. Holy Spirit wants to help us overcome the flesh and to guide us and direct us. When we allow the Holy Spirit, and often it's just with thoughts that are too good to be our own. That's how I discern the difference. I know a Wally thought, and I've learned a Holy Spirit thought. It's so much better. And often I used to go, man, that's a great idea. And Holy Spirit says, it's actually mine that I've just shared with you. When we begin to recognize Holy Spirit is wanting to give us His thoughts all the time, it's amazing. Holy Spirit enlightens us. He teaches, He guides. Holy Spirit is like that divine hygiene that just takes away the redness, the burning, the stinging, that we can see Father and Jesus more clearly. Holy Spirit, we were in Turkey a couple of years ago, and actually went to Laodicea where they made that eye salve that the book of Revelation speaks about. And it was amazing to actually go there where John used it as a story of how we so needed to buy that eye salve that we could see. That's Holy Spirit opening our eyes that we can see Him and His purposes and what He's doing. Holy Spirit in Romans 8 wants to intercede through us. He wants to intercede through us. This morning when Shirley woke up, she says, Wally, I have the burden of the Lord on me. I said, what does He want you to do? Because I don't ask anymore, what is it? I know what it is. I said, Lord, what do you want? She says, would you mind if I just skip breakfast, skip the first session, and just be on my knees praying for this meeting this morning? So I said, love, go for it. So she is praying and groanings by the Spirit for each and every one of you this morning that you would encounter Holy Spirit in a special personal way this morning. See, when the Holy Spirit intercedes through us, He knows our weakness, our frailties, and those of others. And as we respond to Him, we begin to see bigger breakthroughs. We begin to see greater advances, increased acceleration as we lean into Holy Spirit more and more. He's a person. He's not a force. He's not a it. He's a person that we can have a beautiful, sweet relationship. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't get drunk with wine that leads to debauched living, riotous living, but instead be filled. Amplified says, continually stimulated by the Holy Spirit. Message Translation speaks about drinking deep draughts of Holy Spirit. Beautiful picture of this massive wine vat where I said, Lord, I don't know, I want to dive into it. Where we can enjoy the fullness. And I believe we're living in a day and age where God is pouring out His Spirit. But you know how you've got this big draught where it comes out? We, the cup of our lives, we need to position it under the tap so we don't miss it. But we're going to chat a bit more about that in the third session. Holy Spirit is our comforter and counselor. I'm just giving you a number just to stir your hearts to realize there is so much more. He comforts us. Now, often we have the mindset that the comforter is like, say, I'm going to use Bates as an example. A comforter is not, oh, shame, oh, you're going to make it. Just keep, you know, comfort is different from a God point of view than from a human point of view. God's comfort is this: look up. I will strengthen you. You can make it.
you can do it. I've given you everything that you can walk through this fire. You can cross this river. You can fight this fight. See, God's comfort is like heaven's reinforcing rods in your spirit that gets you to stand up. David experienced the comfort of God when the lion, the bear, then Goliath. He just said, no, I will take this Goliath's head off. See, it's a strengthening of on the inside. That's why Holy Spirit's a strengthener. He's standby and he comforts us that we can do it. Not comfort or shame. He's the counselor. He wants to give us insight and wisdom into the ways of God. He wants to give us insight to the complexities of some of life's issues. He wants to help you with wisdom that is so beyond ours to help people. To help people. He wants to give us his wisdom. I'm going to conclude with this, as Paul said initially, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father. We're as kids, and he so desires to want to give it to us. We don't have to tarry for it. We have to thirst for it. We must want it. The word picture I could give to you, I've seen it in malls. Before Christmas, there's all the Christmas trappings of wrapping and Father Christmas and gifts and all those jingles before Christmas. Have you seen kids with their parents when they're walking through those malls? Those kids are so amped and so excited for the gifts they're going to get. They just cannot wait for Christmas. You and I need to every day live with an expectation and excitement of faith and a loving Father who gives generously good gifts to us all the time, that the name and his fame could be spread further and beyond. There's gifts he wants to give to you that could help you and others. I'm trusting for great impact of the gifts of healing, to see people that are racked with disease be wonderfully healed and then come to a knowledge of Jesus. See people that have been struggling with depression and anxiety find peace and wholeness in Christ. We need to begin to stir up those gifts, as Paul said to Timothy. We need to begin to stir them up. We don't need to tarry anymore. We need to thirst. What are your thirst levels for Holy Spirit? What are your thirst levels? Are you just willing to sip or gulp down or jump in, boots and all? Only you can answer that question, but then you equally can go before him and say, Holy Spirit, I've always had a question mark over who you are and your workings. But this morning, that question mark is becoming an exclamation mark, and a thirst is growing in my heart that I could encounter you in ever-increasing increments. Never, ever become stagnant in your relationship with God, the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. The moment you neglect a relationship and take it for granted, there comes a distance. As you appreciate and value and treasure, it grows. It grows and increases. I want to close with this thought. As Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. If any man is thirsty, that word thirst is not just like, hey, I've been speaking for half an hour, I'm thirsty. No, a thirst is when you've been for 3 days in a desert without a drop. That's the kind of thirst Jesus is talking about. It's a famishing, it's an all-consuming craving for the water. It's not just sip, it's gulping it down because your soul is famished. It's a coming to me. It's a coming to Jesus, who's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit and continually filled, there's encounters that he wants to give to us. It's coming to him in faith. It's coming to him with a thirst. It's coming to him in humility and submission. And then he breaks into our lives and he says, drink, receiving. And then from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I believe He wants each and every one of our lives to be heaven's river tributaries into this parched world, into this dry world where they're looking for answers. They don't have any. We have those answers. So I want to conclude by saying this. I believe with all my heart, there are deeper, fresh encounters with Holy Spirit that each and every one of you, myself included, He wants to give to us. I trust as you have a deep understanding of the working of His Spirit within, we would say, I want more. I want a thirst. And then as we continue with the second session of looking at some of the emblems and symbols of the Holy Spirit, the beautiful one of fire. How many times I said, Lord, burn up all the nonsense and worry. Burn it up that the new life and growth could come forth that reflects more of you, Jesus, than me. I'm just using that as an example because it was a word that came earlier on. There's the dew of the Holy Spirit, the dove, the wine, the oil, the rivers, the rain. There's so many beautiful emblems that all reflect aspects of His nature and character that we're going to explore in the second one. But I'd like to close in prayer before we have a break. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that Holy Spirit, you would become so desirous by each and every person here this morning, that there would be a deep calling to deep, a yearning in their hearts to Holy Spirit, I want to know you more intimately. I want to allow you to draw me in and woo my heart and romance my heart, that I can live a life full and overflowing with the Spirit. Lord, we want to live a life overflowing, not just full. Father, I pray that as we would chat about it over tea and coffee, that, Lord, the thirst would grow within us. That by the time we come to tonight's meeting, we are famishing for you, Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Paul.
We've got like 12 minutes before our official break. I just thought maybe there's some other topic which raises a lot of questions in people's minds. I'd be happy to
answer some.
Field 12 minutes of questions. Anything that guys want to ask, you can go.
There's just like something that confuses me when you've been talking about this, and you say like you have like a thirst for it, like not just like want to sip, like to actually take help and all that. But I struggle to understand, like for like I struggle to actually have that like thirst for like a lot. You know?
Right.
I do want it.
Right.
I just feel like it's not, you know, wanting enough. If I can put it this way, like you don't go to the tap and you tell yourself, okay, now I want to drink. You want to drink, and then you go to the tap and you pull up the glass.
Yeah. All right, a good question. I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
There's a natural thirst, but then there's the spiritual thirst. David spoke about, I think it's Psalm 42, about a hunger and a thirst that he had for God. A natural, you actually have to put a limit. But spiritually, because of who God is, it can be a limitless thirst for Him. And what I did is I could relate a lot more to Jesus when I came to faith. I struggled with the Father because of my broken relationship with my earthly father, but God did a healing. But the Holy Spirit was something when I was in the Navy in Walvis Bay, Fred Roberts came up for a conference and he taught, similar to what I'm doing, on the Holy Spirit. And I thought, that's the missing person in my life. I know one of them was. So as I started going through the scriptures, see, the Bible, faith comes through the Bible. And as I began to go through the scriptures, I said, wow, this is for today. It wasn't just for Bible times. This is something I can experience now and live in now. I said, I put my faith in you, Jesus, as my baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And I think it was about 3 or 4 days after I'd heard and I'd gone through all the scriptures, I was wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues, and that was the beginning of my journey in the war, in learning more about Holy Spirit. So I found the scriptures, as you go through them, they begin to, it becomes if I could, you know, like when you put water in Eno's, there's effervescent, thank you, that was the word I was looking for. When you put faith in the scriptures, something starts bubbling up inside, and you say, yes, that's what I want. I don't want to just live an average, ordinary, mediocre kind of life. That's not what God's, but an adventure-filled life of the Holy Spirit. And so that's how I increased my thirst and continue to do so. I hope that helps answer your question in part. Like the other day, I was looking at a video of Marilyn Hickey, who's 84, 85. I don't know if you saw her, heard of her. Marilyn Hickey. A lovely lady, senior lady, a veteran evangelist, preaching to over 1 million Muslims in Pakistan. I looked at that and I just cried, I laughed. I had all sorts of emotions and feelings. I thought she's a granny, I even think a great granny. And she was giving it with all of her heart. And you just see these vast crowds of Muslims just responding to Jesus. She's a lady that when I first came to faith, she preached and taught a lot on the Holy Spirit, as did Reinhard Bonnke and others. And I look at her life now and think, Lord, that's how I want to finish. Life filled with the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham, life filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine all of you living filled to overflow with the Holy Spirit. That's how I want to live.
Can I add to that?
Please.
I think it's such a good question, because it feels like sometimes it's us that needs to bring our thirst or our longing to the table. And there is, I mean, you must chip in here as well around this one, but that's just what the heart of some of your question, I think, is, well, how do I position myself more effectively for the Holy Spirit? And what I found personally is that what Wally's saying around beginning to search the scriptures is, so the gift is given by God. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something you have to achieve. It's God's free gift. That's when it's called, that's why it's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit, the outpouring is called the gift of the Father. But I find that as I read and I understand more of who he is, and have any of you had the experience where you've been like, you haven't had a devotion for maybe like a couple of weeks and you feel like, oh, I don't really feel like one. And then you start having them daily again and suddenly it feels like you're thirsty. You're hungry for your devotion. When you don't have it the next day, you miss it. And there's something strange about God's word like that, where when you engage with it, a thirst grows, and when you don't, you seem to wane, and your thirst diminishes for his word. And so that for me is probably more like a practical outworking. And actually, when you spend time with him, he's just doing something that increases the thirst. But it's not something you can just decide, which is the aspect of your question. You can't just say, well, I'm now thirsty, I want to, and you psych yourself up into a place of being like desperately thirsty. Either you are or you aren't, and it's God that brings that gift. So hopefully that helps a little.
And I think as you just present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I acknowledge I'm not quite as thirsty as I want to be. And I've said, Lord, rub salt into my inner man, but salt makes you thirsty. And I say, Lord, just pour more. That I would want to be with you more than watching TV. That I want to be more with you than watching YouTube. Or more with you than going fishing. Or going more with you than with running. Or whatever. And I had to look at the things that distract me and say, Jesus, help me. That my thirst for you is more than all those other things put together. Cool, thank you for that question. Any other questions? No questions, a stupid question, please. Yeah, yes, Bates.
Maybe a little bit provocative, but wasn't the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost? So why do we keep asking for the outpouring of the Spirit? That's a common question, so I wanted to ask.
Right. You know, I agree it was poured out at Pentecost, but there were other accounts in the gospel, in the book of Acts, when Peter was preaching, and it was the Holy Spirit just interrupted him. He didn't even finish his preach, and people were praying in tongues and having visions and prophesying, etc. So I do believe there was the initial outpouring at Pentecost, but then there are ongoing outpourings, because sometimes we as Christians have greater output than input. And he needs to fill us. I know the debate, does it come from up within? It's difficult to put one's finger on, but all I know is some of the evidences of living a life fooled is there's joy, there's peace, there's a strength, there's a persevering, there's a joy, there's a love. But the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. So you see, Holy Spirit is at work all the time. When I'm struggling to love whoever it is, and it's a challenge and a doubt, I say, Holy Spirit, just enlarge my heart to be able to love more. Fill those cracks and crevices. Take out the stones that makes greater capacity for me to love. You know, does it help answer in part? You know, it's a difficult one, but all I know is the Holy Spirit is being poured out. And in the last days, a last day promise, he was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, believer and unbeliever. The believer to be empowered, the unbeliever from a great conviction that will bring repentance and life in them. If I can, that makes sense a little bit. Thank you, Bates.
Also, just on that note, like this morning I wrote something down that was just so interesting. That the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and will only intrude when you ask him to do so. So when you ask for the Holy Spirit to come to you, actually you're just inviting, because he's always there. You're just inviting him in and you're inviting him to intrude.
Yes.
Inviting him to actually take over. Because he won't do it. The Holy Spirit won't just come in and tell you what to do. You must ask him to come.
Absolutely. Now that's a very cool truth that you just mentioned there. Because I know the Holy Spirit's the dove. Bible says the dove came and rested upon Jesus, was there in Genesis with Noah. And I was saying, dove, Holy Spirit, just come rest on me. And I remember Holy Spirit says, Wally, I'd love to, but you're not still long enough for me to do that. Because I was here, there, helter-skelter, going here, going there. And the Holy Spirit says, well, he learned to be at rest and at peace. Reflect and meditate, and I will fill you in greater measure and way. So that was one of the truths that I had to learn, to be still and quiet and not charge around here, there. I found there was great spiritual barrenness in my busyness. And I had to learn to slow down and only do what I felt and sensed he was leading me to do. Like for the last 3 years, I've been primarily been in the Gospels and the Book of Acts. Primary. And I just said, Lord, if that's where you want me to camp, I'll do that until I feel you prompting me further. I do look in the old and the new, but primarily I'm in the Gospels and the Book of Acts. Please. Right.
If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have not dragged deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Mm. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great.
Mm. That's a profound, powerful, and convicting one. Please.
Cool, guys. So we're going to break for exactly 15 minutes.